I'll invite you to open your Bibles with me this morning in, first of all, to the book of Romans, if you want to start there in Romans chapter 1. We'll start there with a verse or two, and then we'll go over to the Gospel of Mark and the 10th chapter. We've got a lot of scripture I want to read for you today. Here's what I hope to do this morning. I hope this morning to whet your appetite for God. I pray that by the word of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord here this morning, that we will all become really hungry for God as a result of our time here together this morning. The message that that I'm going to share with you today is actually a message. It's the kind of thing that I usually like to do at the beginning of the summertime. I like to go back and just talk about very simple messages of faith and the importance of living by faith. Often through the summertime, we'll go back and look at Old Testament stories, some of the great stories of the men and women of faith in the Old Testament, and see how they lived triumphantly because of their trusting and believing in God for everything. And a lot of stuff came up over the summer, and we went a lot of different directions, and so I'm just getting around to it now. This actually came about as a discussion we had Thursday night, I guess, in our home. We were talking about some things about faith and things that people believe about faith, and so I want us to look at the Word of the Lord together today. And again, this is just going to be an introduction today. Okay, today's message is to introduce us to a message about faith and believing God. And today's message probably won't really stir you to believe God, but hopefully it'll make you hungry for God so that you'll pursue the Lord and desire to know the Lord in greater ways. Let me start in Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read just verses 16 and 17, just a couple of verses to get us started. In fact, let's go ahead and pray to start, and then we'll be off and running, okay? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we are able to come together this morning, that we're able to be here in this place, and most of all, Father, that you are here with us. Lord, your word says that you give us ears to hear. You've created the hearing ear, is what Proverbs tells us. And Lord, we pray today that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. Encourage us, Father, to learn to live by our faith in Jesus every day. Thank you, God, for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul says in these verses, familiar maybe to you, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." I want you to understand what's going on here. Most of the world in that day, most of the world in our day, quite frankly, believes that salvation is earned by good works and obedience to God. Most people think that when we stand before God on Judgment Day, as long as the scales tilt in our favor of goodness, we're going to get in. But that's not at all what the Bible teaches us. The Bible, the gospel, the word gospel means good news. And the good news is there's nothing we can do to earn salvation, but if we'll believe in Jesus, God will freely give it to us. That's good news. All of that hard work you're trying to do to earn your way into heaven, it's useless. It's a waste of time. You're not going to get there by earning your way in. But if you'll believe in Jesus. You know, Jesus himself would say in John chapter 6, he was talking to his disciples about how they would come to him and the followers and all of the people and how they came. Because he said, you don't follow me because you understand or perceive the signs of who I am. But rather you follow after me because I fed your stomach. You ate something and you want to come to follow me and eat again. And he says, instead of pursuing the things of the natural, you need to pursue the things of the spiritual realm, and you need to pursue the things that pertain to eternal life. And the disciples said, well, how do we do that? How do we earn that eternal life you keep talking about? And here's what Jesus said in John 6, I believe it's about 29, 6:29. Jesus said,
This is the work. And I want you to notice the way he phrased that, because it's a sort of a play on words by Jesus. He says, this is the work that you're to do. Okay? Because we all think we've got to work. What's that secret? You know, how many old ladies do I have to help across the street? How much money do I have to give? How many good works do I have to do to get in heaven? Jesus said, here is the work that you are to do. Believe in the Son that he sent. That's it. Just believe. You don't earn your way in. You believe your way in. Then he goes on to say in these verses, he says, but the righteous man, end of verse 17, the righteous man shall live by faith. Now, I got more good news for you today. That righteous man that he mentions here, that's you. That's me. The Bible says we are made the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. When we believe in Jesus, he forgives us of all of our sins. He makes us righteous in his sight. And we are the righteous men and women of Jesus. I realize we don't always feel that way. And the enemy's always telling us something else. And our actions are often telling us something else. But what matters is what he says, not what everything else says. And God says, you believe in my Son, you're forgiven of your sins, you're a righteous child of God. Okay? And goes on to say there, but the righteous man shall live by faith. I finally got to my message. The righteous man shall live by faith. How many of you know there's a difference between having faith and living by faith? There's a difference between having faith and living by faith. And I tell you, I'll be honest with you, I struggle with that. I struggle with, is that possible? And I guess it is. I guess it is, because a lot of times I find myself not living by the faith that I claim to have. The Bible says we're supposed to live by faith. In other words, every day of our life should be lived seeking after Jesus, trusting in Jesus, desiring to honor Jesus, desiring to bring glory to him in everything that we say and in everything that we do. That's the way our lives are supposed to be as children of God. We live for the glory of the one who saved us and gives us that gift of eternal life. That's living by faith, trusting him every day to take care of us, to bless us, to protect us, to watch over us, to meet our needs, to care for us, all of these things. This is what it means to live by faith every day. And I'm just so tempted to get off into what I want to share next week. It's important that we understand what faith is. And that's where we're going next week. Faith, guys, listen, faith is not just a positive mental attitude. That's a good thing. But that's not all faith is. Faith is not just knowing facts about Jesus. Faith is knowing Jesus in our heart and having a true relationship. I can't go any further. That's next week's message. Today, I want you to see the difference that faith can make in your life, okay? Because here's the thing. Living by faith can change the circumstances of our lives. We're going to read some scripture in just a little while where Jesus tells us, if we have faith in God, faith can move the mountains of our lives. Faith can change the circumstances of our lives. Faith can make all the difference. Our faith in God opens the door for God to come into our hearts and lives, to manifest his grace and his goodness in our lives, and to do good things for us. Look over at Mark chapter 10 real quickly. Second Gospel, Mark chapter 10, verse 46. I'm going to read the last six or eight verses of this chapter. As we talk about living by faith, I want to share with you for the rest of the morning some of the promises that the Bible makes to us if we will live by faith, and show you some examples of what happened to people who made the decision to have faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Look at verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. And this, again, a familiar story to you. It's the story of the healing of a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus. It says in verse 46, then they came to Jericho, and Jesus, by the way, is traveling toward Jerusalem. He is almost there where he will offer his life as a sacrifice. It's the end of the ministry of Jesus. He's going to Jerusalem. He goes through Jericho. And as he's leaving Jericho, his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying, take courage, stand up. He is calling you. I often wonder, by the way, this is totally off the record, but I often wonder how those guys felt. They're trying to make Bartimaeus be quiet. And Jesus says, don't make him be quiet. Don't shut him up. Invite him to come. Well, there's a message in there, isn't there? But imagine those disciples and how they must have felt, how humble they must have felt. Here they are trying to shut this man up, and Jesus wants to talk to him. Now they got to go to the one who they've been saying, shut up, shut up, shut up. And now they got to say, come on, come on, come on, come on. Just wonder how they felt dealing with all. Anyway, Jesus stopped and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up, he is calling you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, I like that, answering him. But listen, by getting up and coming to Jesus, he is saying something to Jesus. He is saying something. When we come to Jesus, we're saying something to Jesus. We are expressing our hope, our faith, our love when we come to him. And so Jesus answers. Answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, which means great one or master. I want to regain my sight. I want to receive my sight, your King James Bible says. Jesus said to him, go, look at this. Your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him down the road. Just a couple of things to notice real quick, and we'll come back in just a few moments. Notice first of all that he recognizes who Jesus is. He calls him Son of David. We've mentioned that many times over the years. Son of David is Jewish code for Messiah. Okay? Son of David means Messiah. Here's the thing. A blind man sees who Jesus is. The Pharisees can see, but they don't see. Bartimaeus can't see, but he does see. He sees, he knows who Jesus is. He calls him Son of David. Now that means something to Bartimaeus. As Messiah, Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 7, both of these passages of Scripture tell us that Messiah, one of the signs of Messiah, is that he will give sight to the blind. Okay? So here's blind Bartimaeus sitting by the road, hears about Jesus, knows he's the Son of David, he's the Messiah. He thinks, this man can open my eyes. So he begins to call out to him. Oh, by the way, and let's just mention this at this point. How many of you know that you need to believe in Jesus, but it's also important what you believe in Jesus, what you believe about Jesus? Did you know that most of the religions of the world believe in Jesus? They believe in the man called Jesus. Muslims think he was a great prophet. There are cults, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, they believe that he was a god. The Jews even believed in a man called Jesus. They thought he was a heretic, but they believed in him. See, it's important not just that you believe, but it's important what you believe about Jesus. That's why Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Most important question you will ever answer in all of your life, bar none, who is Jesus to you? And so it's important that we know, and he knows and he recognizes who Jesus is, and so he continues to call out and he won't be denied. And notice at the end of this story, notice in verse 52, Jesus says to him, go, your faith has made you well. Now, we know that it's the power of God that brought healing to his life. But faith was key in Bartimaeus' life to receive that power that would manifest that healing. So Jesus says, for your part, faith has made you well. Faith has made you well. Faith can make all of the difference in our lives. I remember years ago when I first came to the Lord, I think I had a theology that probably most people have. In fact, I know that many people still have it today. And that theology has often been referred to as a que sera theology. Remember that song? Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. And a lot of people have a que sera theology. They think, well, you know, we believe in God, we believe in Jesus, but life, whatever happens, it's God. There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing I can change about it. It is what it is. That's what we say today. And I began to find out that that's really, and there are a lot of Christians that believe that. A lot of Christians believe that God has already preordained everything, and everything that happens is God's will for your life. And I do not believe that. There are too many places in the Bible that tell us to believe and to trust. Jesus, in fact, for me, refutes that theology when he says, if you'll believe, and again, we mentioned it already, if you'll believe, faith can change your life. It will blow the mountains out of your life. It will change the kind of life. It will turn around the kind of life that you lead, that you live if you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember, you know, I got saved back in the 70s, and toward the late 70s, I was introduced to ministries like Oral Roberts and some of the other people that have become known as faith teachers these days. And I began to understand that there's something more to living. What I had been taught was you must be born again. That's a good message. But you know, once you've been born again, you must be born again. Just doesn't get any, you know, it doesn't get you anywhere else after that. And basically what I was taught was you must be born again. And essentially beyond that, you just grit your teeth and grin and bear it until Jesus comes. And hope for the best kind of thing. And that, you know, God didn't really do anything anymore in this lifetime. Miracles passed away. Healings passed away. All the gifts have passed away. God passed away, I guess. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you anymore. And so you just kind of grin and bear it until Jesus comes, or you go to heaven to be in, and that kind of thing. And these men of God that were teaching faith were actually teaching me that the faith that I have in Jesus Christ for eternity can make a difference in my life here and now, if I will live by faith in Jesus every day. It's not a matter of just gritting your teeth and holding on until Jesus comes back. It's a matter of every day trusting in the goodness of the Lord for God to bring His grace and bring it to bear on my life and to make a difference in the kind of life that I live as I trust in Him. As we trust in the Lord, God's promises become our realities as we live by faith in the Lord every day. And I'll just be the first to tell you, God bless the faith teachers, and I thank God for them. Hey, I thank God for the Baptist who taught me how to be born again. Can I just be honest with you today? I think Baptists have some flaky theology. I really do. Charismatics, give them a good run for their money. Charismatics give them a good run for their money where flakiness is concerned. But you know, I thank God for all of them because they all taught me something about God. And they taught me something about living for the Lord and with the Lord and in faith in God so that faith can make a difference in my life today. I spent a dozen years among the people that are today called Word of Faith people, and there's nothing that they have ever said or done that I haven't done or said at somewhere in my journey. And I believe a lot of what they said and done, a lot of what I said and did was flaky stuff. But you know what? I also believe this. I believe that there isn't something twisted that doesn't begin from something straight. There isn't something false that doesn't begin from something true. See, the enemy's not a creator. He's just a perverter. And he has to take the truth and pervert it and twist it. And he does that, and he's good at it. But we need to get down to the, we need to drill down to the core, to the base, to the bottom of where the truth can be found. Because brother and sister, there is truth in the message of faith and trusting God with your life, every day of your life, to see God make a difference in your life every day. Made a difference in that man's life. He sits by the road, a blind beggar. We don't know how long he had been without his sight. My Bible actually said he asked Jesus, he said, I want to regain my sight. Your King James says, I think I want to receive my sight. I'm not sure why the difference is there. To regain implies he had it at one time. But anyway, we don't know how long he'd been without sight, but we do know this. We know he's a blind beggar. And he sits by that road every day. And he has this special garment that he spreads out, a beggar's garment that he spreads out. And as he hears people coming down the road between Jericho and Jerusalem, he calls out for people to be merciful, to be gracious, to be kind, and to put something in that garment so it will have something to live on, something to eat off of. And as people are able to give, they give to this blind beggar sitting by the road. This man had faith in Jesus. And I want you to see two signs of faith. Two signs of faith in the life of Bartimaeus, and we'll see it time after time after time in the examples I'm going to show you. First sign, the words that come out of Bartimaeus' mouth. First of all, he says, Jesus, Son of David. He recognizes who he is. Second of all, he won't stop calling out to Jesus. He could not be shut up. Because he had faith in Jesus, he knew what Jesus could do, and he refused to let somebody else deny him what Jesus could give to him if he would just come. He believed. The second picture of faith in this man's life is the fact that when he jumps up, I believe it's about verse 50 in there, when he jumps up, when Jesus calls to him, he jumps up, the Bible says he throws that garment aside. Can I say it this way? It's a picture. It's a metaphor. Watch this. Today it would be like quitting your job. Isn't that right? This is the source, this is his source of income. This is all he has. They don't have welfare. They don't have, you know, the government handouts and all that kind of stuff. They sit by the road. They beg. This is the way he earns his living. This is the way he makes his income. And when Jesus says, come and follow me, when Jesus says, come to me, he jumps up and throws that garment aside. Why? Because he knows Jesus is about to change his life forever and he will never have to beg again. Because Jesus is about to change his life forever. So he throws it aside. It's like quitting your job. No, I'm not recommending that. Okay? Don't go quit your job because Pastor Ken says quitting your job is how you live by faith. No, that's not what I'm saying to you. If Jesus says quit your job, quit your job. If he doesn't, get up and go to work tomorrow, okay? Because Paul says, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. And I like to eat, okay? I like to eat. Don't quit your job unless Jesus says, quit your job. Okay. Let me find myself here. Again, we know it's the power of Christ that heals this man. But Jesus says, you did your part. You believed. You had faith. And because of that, you have been rewarded. And you receive your sight. Could God have healed him sovereignly? Sure. God's a sovereign God. God can do what God wants. But did you know there's not a single promise in this book that God gives to us? There's not a single promise in there that says, whenever you have a need, don't worry about it. I'm just going to sovereignly come along and meet that need and heal that disease and deliver you from your problems and take everything away and you're never going to have a worry and you're never going to have a care. Well, the Bible doesn't say that at all. Can God do that? Absolutely God can do that because God's God. But that's not the way God generally works in his relationship with us. His relationship with us is a covenant relationship where we each bring something to the table. God brings grace to the table. He brings the ability to do anything that ever needs to be done. We have to bring faith to the table. We bring faith to the table. And when our faith meets His grace, those needs are met. I haven't defined faith for you yet, so don't get carried away, okay? We're going to do that next week. I'm not promising you, please hear this, I guess I have to say this before we go any farther. I am not promising you that God is going to give you anything you want. That is not what I'm promising you. Forget that, okay? We'll read some scripture that will almost imply that in a little while. As a general rule, God deals with us on the basis, well, think about your salvation. Does God just sovereignly save people whether they believe or not? My Bible tells us that we have to believe in order to be born again. We have to be saved. We have to have faith in Jesus in order to be born again. Could God just take us all to heaven? Well, of course again, He's God. But it's not what He said He's going to do. See, this is not the promise of the Lord. We must come in faith to be recipients of God's grace. Look quickly back at the fifth chapter of Mark's gospel. And there are a couple of wonderful familiar stories to you, beginning in verse 21. And I'm not going to take so much time in these stories. I just want to make the point out of these stories, as we did there with Bartimaeus, about the difference that faith makes. And I'm saying to you today that when we learn to live by faith every day in the Lord, these are the types of things we can expect to see God do in our lives if we'll trust God every day, look to God, seek God, desire to glorify God in everything that we say and in everything that we do. Look at Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. Let me just give it to you real quickly, those verses of scripture. Jesus meets a synagogue official by the name of Jairus, whose little daughter is sick, almost at the point of death. But he says to Jesus in verse 23, "Come, lay your hands on her. She will get well, be healed, and live." So Jesus starts off with a man. Drop down to verse 35 with me. Jesus is interrupted, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. But while he was still speaking to someone else, there came from the house of Jairus, saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" And Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, only believe. Have faith. Don't let go of your faith, because your faith can make a difference in this situation if you will keep on believing." That's the literal translation there. Keep on believing. Don't let go of your faith. So they get to Jairus' house, and there are people there that are mourning because they believe the child has died. They're laughing at Jesus. In verse 40, he puts them all out. He takes along the child's father and mother and his own companions. That's Peter and James, I believe, and John. And he takes them in. They enter the room where the child was. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha cum," which translate means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astounded, and he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. And he said that something should be given her to eat. Again, we may come back to this whole story later, but again, the point that I make out of this story today is, once again, we see that the man's faith makes a difference in the situation. The girl has died from whatever illness she was suffering, but God turns it around because the man will not let go of faith. He keeps on believing because Jesus said so. And again, brother and sister, that has to be the foundation of our faith. Jesus said so. Not our hopes, dreams, wishes, positive thinking, or anything else, but what Jesus says, what God says. That's the foundation of faith. That's what we have to believe in. Jesus said, keep believing what you believe. What did he believe? "Come lay your hands on her. She will live." Jesus said, you keep believing that, brother. He kept believing that. And Jesus raised her from the dead. Faith, brother and sister, made a difference in that man's life. You've ever had a child to get sick, you know what kind of difference it made. the interruption. Let's look at it, verse 25. As he was on his way to the house of Jairus, there was a woman who came to Jesus. By the way, let me give you the two pictures of faith in Jairus' life. Jairus is a synagogue official. He's a Jew. The Jews don't like Jesus. Jairus is putting everything about his life on the line by showing up in support of Jesus. He can lose everything because of who he is and because of what the Jews actually think about Jesus. But he comes anyway. That's faith. Second picture of faith, the words of his mouth. Come, lay your hands on my daughter. She'll get healed. She will live. Words and actions are always the demonstration of real faith. We see her here in this woman. She's had a hemorrhage for 12 years, verse 25 says. She's endured much at the hands of many physicians and spent all that she had, but was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. But after hearing about Jesus, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Faith comes. This woman has heard about Jesus. She came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought. Your translation may say, for she said within herself. The literal translation, I believe King James has it, for she said. Her faith is expressed by the words of her mouth. For she said, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, perceiving in himself that power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? And the disciples said to him, you see the crowd. They're pressing in all around you. And you say, who touched me? And he looked around and said to the woman, and to see the woman who had done this. The woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him, told him the whole truth. And Jesus, verse 34, here it is again. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Again, the text has already told us it's power that came out of Jesus that made her well. But because she had believed, she had opened the door for this power to come into her life and to make her well. And so Jesus credits her, woman, you did your part. You believed, and I did my part, and now you're well. Notice it again, the two signs of faith. For she said, first of all, the words of her mouth express her faith. She said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll get well. Second sign of faith, her actions. Here's a woman with a disease that by Jewish law put her in line to be stoned to death for being out in public this way. And here she is before Jairus, the synagogue official, the one who has authority to have her stoned, and yet she is still willing to push through this crowd of people, fight her way through Jesus. I can picture this little old frail woman just fighting her way, maybe on her hands and knees for all I know, doing whatever she can to get to Jesus. Her actions prove her faith. Words and actions are the true signs of real Bible faith. And this woman demonstrates both. Let me just give you the rest of these, and maybe we'll look at these, I'm sure, in more detail later on as we go through. In the Gospel of Matthew, there are other accounts. Similarly, there's a Syrophoenician woman who comes. This is a Gentile woman. She has no claim to the promises of God or to what Jesus can do in her life. And yet she pursues Jesus like Bartimaeus. She yells out after Jesus. Like Bartimaeus, she refuses to be quiet. When Jesus won't even respond, she keeps calling out. She pursues him, actions. She calls out her words. She demonstrates real faith. And as a result, her daughter is healed of the demon possession that she was experiencing. In Matthew chapter 8, another story, another account of a Roman centurion who comes to Jesus. And he has a slave, he has a servant who is not well. And he comes to Jesus and he says, if you will just come, he says, I've got a servant at home that's not well. Jesus said, I'll come heal him. The Roman centurion says to Jesus, you don't have to take another step. Jesus, I recognize how authority works because I am a man of authority. I have authority. People over me have authority. People under me, I have authority over them. He says, Jesus, I recognize that you are a man of authority. And I know, just like my commanders, all they have to do is give a command and that word will be carried out. And Jesus, I know that if you will just say the word, my servant will be healed. Jesus looked at this man and he said, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. In fact, did you know the two people that we just talked about, the last two people, a Gentile woman and a Gentile man, these are the only two people in the Gospels that Jesus said had great faith. Neither one of them were Jewish. They were Gentile. To both of them, he said, you have great faith. And to this man, he says, it's done for you. Just as you have said. Just as you have believed. So again, your faith has been responsible for what has happened in this man's life. There are so many more. The whole 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is example after example after example of people who lived by faith and saw miraculous things happen in their lives because they trusted God with their lives. And God did miracles because they chose to live by faith. They didn't practice Sunday morning, go to meeting kind of faith. They practice an everyday walk with God, believe in the Lord kind of faith. And God did miracles in their lives because of it. Let me give you some promises. Let me just read some of these promises that we've mentioned. Let me look in Matthew chapter 17. Let me read for you the promises that God makes to us if we will believe. Matthew chapter 17, this is actually the story. I'm going to read some from Mark chapter 9. That's from the same story. It's about a man who has a son who is demon-possessed, and he brings his son to the disciples. They can't cast the demons out. And so Jesus has to minister to the man, get the kid delivered. And the disciples ask Jesus privately in verse 19, Matthew 17, 19. Why could we not drive it out? And Jesus said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. Please hear this, church. The littleness of faith prevents the grace of God. But watch what he says. I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible if you will believe. Nothing. Now again, believe it or not, he didn't just promise us everything. We have to understand faith in order to understand the promise that's being made there. But the point again is that he promises that faith will make a difference. Look at chapter 21 of Matthew's gospel. This is the story where Jesus speaks to the fig tree and it withers and dies. Remember that story? The disciples are amazed that this has taken place. And Jesus, verse 21, Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. Guys, this is Jesus talking. This is not Ken. It's not oral anybody. It's Jesus. And Jesus says, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can speak to the fig tree. You can speak to the mountain. It will be taken up and cast into the sea. Verse 22, and all things you ask in prayer, believing, having faith, you will receive. The key is to understand what faith is. Let me give you just a couple more real quickly. 1 John 5:4, don't bother turning there. 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. John 11, verse 40, Jesus says to Mary and Martha, if you believe, you will see. If you believe, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. So faith will help us to see the glory of God. Look at Hebrews. Just a couple more real quickly. I'm almost done with the introduction. Hebrews chapter 6. Verses 11 and 12. The writer of Hebrews encourages us to continue in faith, to maintain a daily faith. Verse 11, he says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope unto the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but rather be imitators of those," watch this, "be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises." They inherited the promises because of their faith in the promises. We have a part to play, brother and sister. We have a part to play. What did Jesus say? Here's the work that you're to do. Believe. Believe. God's got the hard part, folks. We just have to believe. Through faith and patience, they inherited the promises. Look over the very next book in your Bible is the book of James. Look at the first chapter. What we're finding from the word of the Lord is that as a general rule, God does things in our life. God does special things in our life, special circumstances and manifestations of grace come to our life as we believe and trust in the Lord. I understand that God is sovereign, and I understand, quite frankly, that most of the stuff that happens in our life just happens to us because God is sovereign. I mean, let's face it, guys. If God wasn't today sovereignly holding up this world, holding up this universe, it probably, because of the evil that's in it, would have all just collapsed in and on itself. The Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power. And God is holding this place together just sovereignly because he's God and he's good and he loves us. It's going to hell in a handbasket, but he's still holding it up. He's still holding it up. But God deals with us in a general sense. God deals with us on the basis of faith and our faith in him. Look at James chapter 1. James is talking about wisdom. In verse 5, read together with me. He says in verse 5, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But, verse 6, he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Look at verse 7. "That man," the doubting man, look at it, "ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord." Now, I want you to notice real closely, he didn't say he won't receive. He just says he shouldn't expect to receive. God is still good. And God is still sovereign. And God does stuff in our lives just because of who he is. But the scripture makes it clear that the general way that God deals with us is on the basis of our faith in him and our willingness to live by faith in him day in and day out, not practicing a religion called Christianity, but living a faith relationship with the Son of the living God. Look at the 5th chapter, my last passage. Verses 14 to 16. Again, familiar verses to you, and this concludes our introduction. Verse 14, James writes, "Is any among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore, save, or heal the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man. That's you again. That righteous man, that's you again. You're righteous in Jesus. The effective prayer of a righteous man will accomplish much. Faith will make a difference if we live by faith every day. Bonnie just testified to you less than an hour ago. I promise it's less than an hour. Bonnie testified to you how she got hurt some kind of way, went to the doctor, diagnosed with a stress fracture, told she needed to wear a boot for a few months, come back for a checkup. In 3 days, she comes to church. We pray over her. In 3 days, her foot is healed. Her foot is well. Most of you know that I came back from Virginia Beach with a double ear infection. And went to the doctor and came to church. We prayed several times over me and went to the doctor and got eardrops and took the eardrops. And the ears were opening up and feeling good, except this left ear just never seemed like it wanted to get completely open. And so I mentioned it Wednesday night. I said, I just still feel like there's something wrong in this ear. And so at the end of our prayer time on Wednesday night, the guys all gathered around me and they were praying and they anointed me with oil and several guys prayed over me in that prayer time. And the prayer ended and they started off and so I knew the service was time to end the service. And so I was just sitting there and I started to pray to close the service. I started offering the closing prayer. And after a few sentences in the closing prayer, I heard a pop in my left ear, and my left ear opened up. My ear has been fine ever since. Guys, I'm just telling you, the Word of God is true. The Word is true. And if we'll believe what God says, God can do incredible things in our lives. Awesome things in our lives. Faith is huge. The question is, what is faith? That's the question we'll answer for you next week. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that your word is true. That we can trust in you. God, your very word says that you're not like men. You don't say one thing and do another. You're not fickle and you're not scattered and you're not confused. You don't make mistakes. What you say is true. And if we'll believe it, what you say will come to pass in our lives. Thank you for that, God. Thank you that we serve a God who is a rock, stable, immovable, unchangeable, faithful, reliable, and dependable. In all things, at all times, in all ways. Thank you, Father. I thank you for this opportunity, Father, to challenge, to remind our church family of how our faith in you and learning to live by it every day of our lives can make a difference in our lives. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you freely extend grace to us. And thank you, Father, that as we plug into it with faith, we see the glory of God. Bless you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's stand together this morning. I'll ask you again, as we've done the last few Sunday mornings, to ask the Lord to speak to your heart right now and ask the Lord, God, what do you want me to take from this? What do you want me to see from this? What are you trying to say? What are you trying to teach me? Because, Lord, it's only your word that will make the difference.
It's only your word that will bring faith. It's only your word that will encourage us, strengthen and establish us. Thank you, Father. I pray, Father, you would speak to every heart here today. You would challenge us to dare to believe. That you would challenge us to dare to believe that there's more to be had out of our relationship with you. If we will trust and believe in you every day and live for the glory of the Son of God. I thank you, Father, that there is always more, because there is just no end to how great, how awesome, how loving, and how good you are. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Moving forward in this series, Father, I pray that you would help us to find the truth in this message of faith. That this message would be built solidly and squarely on the Word of God. That our faith would be not in man or man's thinking or theology, but in the simplicity of the truth of Scripture and in the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to remember that He is central in everything, and that ultimately all of these things that you're wanting to do, God, are so that through us, He can be glorified and praised in all of the earth. Thank you, Father. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. We thank you for making it so in His name. Father, I pray that we would not forget the words that you have spoken to our heart here today, that we would mull them over, that we would roll them over in our minds, that we would meditate on them, we would contemplate them, that we ourselves would study the Scriptures to see if it be so, because only in the Scriptures will we find the truth. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for every soul here today that knows Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit dwells within them, and He who is the teacher of the church will open the eyes of the blind to see the truth of the Word of God and to know the truth of the Son of God, who Himself is never changing, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, I pray that this week will be a fruitful week of study and search and seeking after you by every one of us in this church. And I trust and believe, Father, you'll bring us back next week to discover more truth and to know how to walk in the faith that we profess and to know what that faith really is, so that we can experience the fruit of it. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And so, God, I commit this church family into your hands today. I pray that you watch over them today and in the week that comes. That you would draw them near to yourself, Father. You would speak to their hearts. You would encourage them in their journey. That you would give them strength. That you would give them hope. You would give them purpose. I pray you would give them wisdom and peace. I pray that you would comfort their hearts. Pray that you would heal those that are suffering. Deliver those that are oppressed. Bless your people for the glory of your Son. I pray it in His name. Amen and amen. Amen. If we can pray with you specifically and personally about anything in your life today, as always, we are here. If you will stick around after we've said goodbye to other folks and dismiss the other people,
We will pray with you about any need you have. Please, please do not rush out. If you have a need that we can pray with you about today, let us minister to you so that we all get what we came for this Sunday morning. All right? Let's sing as we're dismissed today. In your presence, in your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay. In your presence, day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Thank you so much for being with us today. Hope to see you this Wednesday night and then again next Sunday. God bless you.